This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy.
Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online.
Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both.
See why people wish they'd try couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
Warning, Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Check the Locks podcast. As always, I'm John Connor.
I'm Olivia Cornu.
Saying thank you for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying true crime case. Before we get started, as always, my friend, my partner in crime, the Smurf known as Sneezy. What is going on? How are you doing?
I don't know anymore. I just don't know. I woke up, sounding like this. And all my glory. So just bear with me, listeners, or skip this episode. Either way, it's up to you.
I will say, don't skip this one. This is a really good one. I'm very happy that I found this one, so don't skip it.
Luckily for y'all, I don't have to do much talking.
But no.
How are you? Y'all just got back from Chicago?
Yes, we did. And I will talk about that. But just so the listeners know, we started this podcast, we jumped on the Zoom call, and Olivia's camera was like strangely off. And it never happens. I was like, hey, is everything okay? And she's like, yes, I have two Kleenex shoved up my nose right now. So that's how this podcast started. We're also starting like 9:45. So we got that late night energy going as well. So it should be a good one between all the allergy medicine and late night stuff. Should be a good time.
The Benadryl has been swallowed. It is ready to kick in. I was ready so that way I would be able to go to sleep when I got done here.
Yeah, this case is really interesting because just so here's
like Brady on Hey Arnold.
Oh man, I was just talking to Millie about Hey Arnold. I showed her some of the older episodes. So,
oh, it's great.
Oh, it's such a, they don't make cartoons like that anymore.
No, not anymore. Not at all.
Yeah. But yeah, we did just get back from Chicago. I landed today and then immediately started working on the case for this episode, but we had a great time. Kara was at a conference. So it was mostly like a lot during the day, just me and Millie. And I took her to the Children's Museum. We went to the Lincoln Park Zoo.
She saw a dinosaur.
She did. She put her head in the dinosaur's mouth. But one, I think the thing that she ended up like really loving the best is just that it was a city. So like, you know, we went to see the Bean, but in the park where the Bean is, like, you know, we just were walking and there was these two giant towers. It was like a splash pad. But there were two giant towers with these LED faces on them, and the faces would change. And every couple of minutes, like it would be almost like they were like blowing a kiss or something, and water would shoot out of the side of these towers.
Yeah.
So she just had fun like running around the splash pads, and she was like, "Yeah, you know, like I like it here. I don't want to leave. Can we move here?" And then I started getting on Zillow and looking at some of the like prices, and I was like, "We probably could move here."
Like Chicago's great. My friends just moved there. I like Chicago.
Yeah.
I'd like to meet you there.
It's a really cool city. I think I would have too much. I like the idea, like watching her play. We went right outside of Navy Pier, which I did conquer a fear of mine. I did the Ferris wheel. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Good job.
We all went
job.
Together because I couldn't like sis out on it. I was like, I got to go. So. But right across from Navy Pier is just this huge splash pad. It's just like fountains that shoot up.
Yeah.
And I was just watching her run around with all these kids from different backgrounds and ethnicities and, you know, just in the middle of the city. And she was having a blast. And there's part of me that's just like, oh, you would thrive here because, you know, not that I don't like living where I live, but in the South, you're just not exposed to that same kind of diversity I've found. You know, especially being someone from the Midwest and being from Michigan. I just feel like I grew up with a very diverse group of people around me, and you don't really get that here. You know what I mean? So, there was just something about watching her and seeing her like take in the city life for the first time that I was like, oh man, this is awesome. You know, but we took her to the zoo. She got her face painted. We had like 40 snow cones. It was
sounds
a really
like
good
a great
time.
Weekend trip to Chicago.
Yeah, it was really a lot of fun. I'll tell you what though, man, those Ubers, you know, I don't take them much here just because, you know, again, living in the South and in the suburbs, you don't really have to, but everywhere we went, it was like $24, $25, and we went a lot of places. So I was just like,
Ubers have just really gone up in the last couple of years because even here they're like that. And I used to Uber everywhere for like $6. $6 here, $6 there. I could go across town, $6. And now they're so overpriced. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like I went 1 mile and it was something like $15 to go 1 mile. And I was like, dang, dude. But then you get in that Chicago traffic and it's like, you have to be super aggressive to drive there. So I'm just kind of like, well, it's worth it not having to like rent a car and deal with the traffic around here. And, you know, people will hit you there and be like, yeah, it was your fault.
Trade.
Yeah.
Trades, public transportation.
We did take the train, which was fun because Millie had never been on one. So we got off where we got on at the closest station and then we rode to Millennium Park to see the bean and everything like that. And on the way back, we got off like 2 stops before the hotel so we could actually like walk and show her like the parks and stuff through the city. And she had a really great time, but she was just like, my legs hurt so bad. Do we have to, will you carry me? Do I have to keep walking?
All right.
She had Chicago deep dish for the first time. She was like, this is the best pizza I've ever had. I was like, that is blasphemy.
It's hardly called pizza. It's like sauce and cheese and some veggies on a little bit of crust.
And don't get me wrong. It's really good.
It's good. It's delicious. But I like a nice flat New York style pizza.
Yes. I want that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You got to fold it. That's where it's at. So, you know, my whole thing is if you have to eat pizza with a fork and knife, it's not really pizza. So,
yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah. But all in all, we had a great time. And then when Kara did get to hang out with us, we had a lot of fun. Like she left the work conference and we went to Navy Pier and went on the Ferris wheel together. And so, you know, we had a lot of good family time, but it was really cool just getting that time to kind of explore with Millie and get that like father daughter. Like, oh, this is something I'm doing. I took her to the butterfly house. I didn't tell you this, but, did you see pictures?
I don't know that I saw those pictures, like of real butterflies.
Yeah, it's a butterfly house. It's right across from Navy Pier. They're open every summer. But you go and they give you like a little stick that you can dip in the sugar water. And if you go up to a butterfly that's like sitting on a leaf or something, it's just like a big netted house. And there's like 500 butterflies in there. But if you,
I would love that.
Yeah, if you take your stick and you put it under like the legs, they'll hop on the stick and start drinking the sugar water. And then like they just land on you. So Millie had one like just like sitting on her leg, you know, land on her shoulder. And afterwards she got done. She looked at me. She said, Dad, you made one of my dreams come true.
We got to make Millie a butterfly garden.
It melted my heart. She goes, I love butterflies. And this was a dream. And you made my dream come true, Dad.
Sweet.
Just like, oh, thank you, dude. So it was a good time. We had a whole lot of fun. So we're definitely going to go back because we're in like the South Loop area. So next time we go, we're going to do like Wrigleyville. And like I said, if you're looking, I mean, there's some up and coming neighborhoods in Chicago that I was like, whoa, 5 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms. And like, I would get like a 2-bedroom house here for that. Like, all right, I might be moving to Chicago. It's only 4 hours from my family. So it's not too bad. Just kidding. My mother-in-law listens to this and she's like, don't take my baby. Don't take my grandbaby from me. So don't want her to think I'm serious. The silence right now is Olivia blowing her nose. Well,
I'm miserable.
I know. I know you're not feeling good. So what do you say? Should we just jump into this week's? I could gabby about this trip all night. So should we just jump into this week's case?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's do it. This week, we're headed to 1989 in Northumberland County, Pennsylvania. Lori Ann Auker was a bright 19-year-old girl with a whole world ahead of her. She grew up in the Susquehanna Valley, a quiet farming community in central Pennsylvania. Lori had recently graduated from high school, and soon after, she married Robert Auker, a warehouse worker 10 years older than the teenager. Shortly after the marriage, Lori and Robert had a son, Matthew. And to make extra money, Lori took a job at a pet store in the local mall. She loved animals and had dreams of becoming a veterinarian, making this the perfect fit for her. Plus, Lori got to share her love of animals with her son, bringing him to the shop on his day off to spend time with the kittens. Now, both Lori and Robert loved their son very much, but their relationship was falling apart. They would argue constantly, and Robert was controlling. Lori also disagreed with the way that he would physically discipline Matthew. And after only 18 months of marriage, the couple would separate in October of 1988. With Lori and Matthew moving back in with her parents and Robert doing the same, but keeping visitation rights to the baby. Lori kept her job at the pet shop, and on May 24th, 1989, she began getting ready for work like any other day. Now, during this week, Robert had visitation and actually had Matthew. So Lori made a snack before heading out the door for her usual 4-to-9 shift. She left her parents' home, got into her 1976 Pontiac Le Mans, and headed off to work. But she never arrived. When Lori failed to come in for her shift, a supervisor called her parents home. Her mother, Ruth Aumann, had seen Lori leave at 3:30 that afternoon. And both of her parents thought that she probably had car trouble on the way in. So they decided to drive the route their daughter would normally take to see if they could find her. But there was no sign of Lori anywhere on that normal route. So they continued on to the mall to keep looking. Once they arrived, they found Lori's car in the area where she normally parked, but there was no sign of their daughter. So the Aumanns contacted the state police to report Lori missing. Now, investigators canvassed the area. They interviewed employees and shoppers at the mall that day, but no one saw a thing. Investigators immediately suspected Lori's estranged husband, Robert, especially since Lori had shared that she was scared of him. According to her supervisor, Lori was afraid that Robert would hurt her physically. And on several occasions, he would randomly show up to the pet shop. And when this happened, Lori would run to the back of the store to hide. And according to her mother, Lori kept a shotgun under her bed, explaining that she would need it to protect herself if Robert ever came for her or Matthew. However, when Robert was interviewed, he had a solid alibi. He told police that he had been watching their son Matthew that day, and he also shared that he had gone to two separate appointments. One was to get a disability claims form, and the other was to drop it off. After that, he claimed that he had gone to a Sears store to price a dishwasher for his mother. Because of this, police had no choice but to move on. For 3 weeks, authorities, members of the community, family, and friends searched for Lori, but they all turned up nothing. Then, on June 12, 1989, a young woman was walking down a dirt road near the home of her grandparents. She noticed a foul smell, and the woman decided to investigate. There, off the road, was a badly decomposed body, dressed in a jacket, jeans, and sneakers. Police arrived on the scene and the remains were transported to the morgue for forensic testing. Investigators hoped that they could determine both the identity of the victim and the cause of death. While examining the remains, pathologists determined that the victim had been stabbed to death. Holes in the jacket that continued through the sweater suggested that the victim had been stabbed 7 to 10 times. Believing that the wounds may have impacted vital organs. They were also able to determine that the remains found were those of a female due to the size of the skull, but they still needed an estimated date of death. So to do this, an entomological expert was called in. They reviewed samples of various insects found on and within the remains, and based on these tests, it was determined that the body had been decaying for anywhere between 19 and 25 days. Finally, dental records were used to try to identify the victim, and sadly, it was determined that the remains were those of Lori Auker.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy.
Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online.
Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both.
See why people wish they'd try couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
Get everything for your next project at Menards and save big money. We carry everything to help you breathe easier. Allergen air filters help prevent seasonal allergy symptoms and improve your indoor air quality by capturing microparticles while allowing maximum airflow. Save big on Allergen air filters when you shop at Menards. View the weekly flyer and all of our great deals happening this week on Menards.com. Save big money at Menards.
Police now knew who the victim was and when she died, but they still needed to know who would want to kill the young mother. Luckily, they were about to catch a break. Police learned that there was an ATM in the area that was equipped with a surveillance camera. Now, this particular camera would take a photograph every 10 seconds. Most importantly, the camera was pointed in the direct location of Lori's car. When investigators reviewed the footage, it didn't seem promising. It showed a man standing at the ATM completing a transaction, but when they looked closer, they noticed something. In the back and blurry, they saw a car had pulled up next to Lori's, and a man appeared to be standing outside the vehicle. But the photos were still too blurry to see exactly what was happening. So investigators asked the state police and the FBI for help, but neither could do anything to improve the quality of the images. In a strange twist, the FBI actually suggested that detectives contact NASA for help. At this time, they had been using a new technology to improve the quality of photos taken from space. This was the same technology that was used to determine the cause of the Challenger explosion in 1986. Using this digital enhancement, NASA techs were able to clean up photos, and this time, Lori was able to be seen outside of her car. The next image, which was taken 10 seconds later, showed another vehicle parked diagonally in front of Lori. This vehicle had the passenger side door open, and Lori was bent over looking inside. The final picture showed the unknown vehicle leaving the parking lot. Police now believe that they had clear images of Lori Auker's abduction, but they needed to identify the mysterious vehicle. So they turned to an automobile expert who was able to determine that the car was in fact a Chevrolet Celebrity. This struck a chord with police. They remembered that while Robert Auker didn't own a Celebrity, his parents did. So Olivia, before we go any further, what are you thinking? Where's your head at?
This is a wild case, but I like how we're getting our evidence obtained. That's pretty cool that they could contact NASA to get the pictures that they needed to, you know, crack this case or start to.
Yeah, what's crazy to me is like, this is 1989, right? So they had to contact NASA to be like, can you make this picture less blurry? And yeah, this is something that we can all now do like on Photoshop from our phone.
Yeah.
In a coffee shop, right?
Well, but when you said there was an ATM, I was like, that ATM's back then.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was the security footage, was like one picture every 10 seconds. So it's just, you know, when you think about the technology and the time, you're just kind of like, wow, that's crazy, because, you know, we can transfer money from our phones. We can clean up pictures. I can go into a picture now and just erase anything I don't like and make something the focus. So it is really crazy. Also, you know, I don't think we've ever done a case before where we've had to contact NASA.
No,
to get any kind of evidence or anything like that. So I don't know. I thought this one is pretty interesting. I thought that you would like it. I think you're going to like it even more as we go through. So, you know, should we just keep going with it? What do you think?
Yeah, let's finish up.
All right, let's do it. Now, when questioned by police, Auker's parents said that their son did borrow the car on the day that Lori went missing. According to his mother, Robert arrived home between 5 and 5:30 that evening. A neighbor was questioned by the police and testified that they saw Robert vacuuming the passenger side and vacuuming and scrubbing the trunk the following day. Now, on May 27, 1989, Richard's father traded the Celebrity to a local car salesman in exchange for a truck. That salesman would eventually sell the vehicle to a retired state police officer. However, police were able to track the car down. and the officer had bought the vehicle for his daughter, but she wasn't old enough to drive yet. So the car had just been sitting in a garage, maintaining its integrity. When searched, forensic scientists were able to find hairs located on the front passenger side. Now, these hairs were similar to Lori Hawker's, but it was what was found in the trunk that really surprised detectives. A strange hair was located, and when tested, it was found not to be human. In fact, it would later be determined that the hair belonged to a cat. Now, neither Robert Hawker or his parents owned a cat, but Lori's parents did. And when the two hairs were compared, it was a match. Because of this, police now believe that Lori had been kept in the trunk of the celebrity, and Robert Hawker was arrested for the murder of his estranged wife. The prosecution knew that they would have to prove that it was Hawker's car in the parking lot of the mall. So before the trial, they parked the vehicle in the same spot, and they took pictures from the same location as the ATM, but this time with the background in focus. The sets of photos were identical. They also discovered possible motives for the murder. Robert had taken out an additional life insurance policy on both Lori and Matthew, but this was done after the couple had separated. And with Lori dead, Robert would stand to make a significant amount of money. Lori and Robert had also been involved in a custody battle over their son, which left another reason for Robert wanting Lori dead. The trial would begin on October 26, 1995, during which the prosecution would argue that on the day of Lori's disappearance, Robert was in the parking lot waiting. They believe that he used some type of ruse to lure her into the car, and once Lori entered the vehicle, her fate was sealed. She would be stabbed to death and dumped on the side of the road. Robert Hawker would be found guilty of first-degree murder and kidnapping, and he was sentenced to death. However, he would file an appeal in 1996, and his sentence would be downgraded to life in prison without parole. So, Olivia, that's this week's case. Definitely think it's kind of interesting that, you know, this woman just loved animals, and eventually, to catch her killer, it was the hair of an animal that really sealed the deal. But what are your thoughts? Where's your head at? What do you think about it?
This is a great case. I hope our listeners didn't skip it like I told them to because of my voice. But I love, one, the NASA thing, and then, two, the cat solving the murder. Like, way to go, cat.
Yeah, for sure. There's so many cool elements in this. Like, you know, having the scientist come in who looked at the insects that were found on the body and being like, yeah, because this fly is this big or these larvae are this far along, she's been dead X amount of weeks. And then now we got to call NASA and, you know, oh, it's a cat hair. Like, it's just,
who has a cat?
Right.
Who does it match?
You know, so many of these cases that we do, it's like the blood was found in the trunk or whatever. And this one, there were so many different things, you know, it's kind of crazy to think that. I think it just goes to show like the kind of work that's actually put into these cases by good detectives and investigators, to the fact that you're like, I got to reach out to NASA to see if I can solve this one. You know what I mean? It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I like that aspect of the case. I think morally, Robert is just a terrible human to want to kill the mother of your child over money. I just don't get I don't get it. You know, we all have life insurance. Well, except me, but everyone has life insurance. anyways. And so I just don't think that there should be motive. That shouldn't be the motive to kill your wife and the mother of your child, separated or not. You know, I just don't like that. I'd stand with my word. Just leave them and start a new life. It'll be fine.
Yeah. And I mean, we've done a couple of cases where it's been a custody battle or like a separation. There's something going on and like somebody's willing to kill their spouse over that. And it's just, you know what I mean? Like, again, now this poor kid has been robbed of both parents, you know, and in the research, it very much felt like Robert knew that his parents were going to be getting rid of the car. In fact, at the time that he took it, there was no insurance on it. His dad was mad that he was driving around because there wasn't any insurance. So Robert was like, I can take this car. It's going to be traded or sold for something else in the next couple of days. So like, it's perfect. I'll, you know, get rid of her. we'll get rid of the car. And it just happened to be bought by a state trooper that just left it in a garage, you know? So it's kind of crazy to think that the pieces kind of fell into place the way they did. This feels like a case where everything just kind of had to be right for it to be solved. And it just happened to fall into place like that.
Yeah, I think it all the pieces lined up the way that they needed to be, because any other person, that car could have been shipped across the state and never seen again, or, you know, vacuumed and used for the last couple months while instead of just sitting there. So everything worked out the way that it was supposed to, and just how everything lined up was really fascinating.
Yeah, 110%. But if we're talking deadbolt tests on something like this, where does, you know, a case like this fall for you?
I'm going to put it about a 5. You know, I don't like when the spouses kill one another. I liked the interesting, you know, facts that we've talked about and how everything panned out. But as far as like the murder goes, like, you know, to just another husband killing another wife.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Like, you know, this is, unfortunately, we've done a lot of cases like this, you know, take out the cat hair, take out, you know, the NASA scientists, take out the state trooper, right? We do a lot of cases where it's a divorce or there's something wrong in the marriage. And instead of just backing out and taking the L, you know, somebody's like, I'm going to kill somebody else. So like checking the locks, you know, I'm a married man. I do think there is something scary about the person that you go to sleep with or the person that you've had a child with. And, you know, when things get bad, you're still like, okay, even if it's with a kid, we're still partners, right? Like, we're co-parenting. We're going to figure this out. There is something really scary about thinking that the other person is like, no, we're not. Like, there's one place that you're going and I'm in control of that. So I think for me, I would probably put this at a 6 just because of that element. But on the interesting scale, I mean, this would be an 11 for sure for me. So. Well, that is where we fall in the deadbolt test for this week's case. But as always, we want to hear from you, the listeners, the locksmiths. Where does the murder of Lorianne Auker fall on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram at CheckTheLocksPod. You can find us on Twitter at CheckTheLocks. And if you're not in our Facebook group, what the heck are you doing? Come hang out with us. We'd love to get the opportunity to spend some time with you, get to know you, and just have you be part of our amazing community. We've said it a million times, but it's the best place on the internet. And Olivia, you know, we love hearing from our listeners. We love getting emails. You can email us at contact@checkthelockspod.com. You can also leave us Spotify comments. But what really helps us are 5-star reviews. They help new listeners find the show, gets us into other shows, recommendations, things of that nature. So they really do help us a lot. Olivia, if somebody wanted to leave us a 5-star review, what is the best way to do that?
They need to go to the Apple Podcast app, go to our show's homepage, scroll down where you see all 5 of the stars, click them all, and tell us what you think.
That's right. And Olivia always says it best, so I don't have to. That's Apple Podcasts. Click those stars, leave those reviews. And if you need a cheat code, there is a link in the description of the episode that you're listening to now. Again, they just help us out tremendously. So if you've already left us a review, just know that we appreciate you so much. And if you're listening and you haven't, hey, if you got Apple, go over there, drop that review. We would really, really appreciate it. And as always, if you like the show, you want to help financially support the podcast, you can do so by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/checkthelocks, get signed up today. We got a lot of great tiers, exclusive benefits, stickers, coffee mugs, stuff like that. But you also get the episodes commercial free. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate those ads, Patreon is the way to go. So again, you want to help us out, just throw us a dollar or two, whatever. That's patreon.com/checkthelocks and get signed up today. And if you can't financially support the show, we definitely understand. Just listening and hanging out with us, sharing what we do with your friends and family means just as much, if not more. Again, it's all about that grassroots growth. And anytime you share this podcast with somebody, that's exactly what it does. It just helps us to grow our community and our family. So if you are sharing the show in any way, shape, or form, just know that we truly appreciate you from the bottom of our hearts. That is all that we have for this week's case, but please make sure that you are subscribed to Check the Locks on your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. We will see you again next week with another truly terrifying true crime case. But until then, don't forget to
check the locks.
See you next week.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, couples therapy that works.